We're good to go.
So we're no longer being televised. We are in executive session.
We are no longer. We are on another Zoom link, but only press and Jackie. And there, we do have one member of the press that is joining, John Q. And he's coming in now.
So
we're still waiting on Jackie.
Seven.
Oh,
so I don't know if you want to reverse the order.
Why not? Can we reverse the order of the executive session? Is that permitted? Because we have our attorney who's thinking we're coming in at seven.
Oh, I did not realize how early we are. Actually,
we zoomed ahead.
Yes. So actually, because we noticed the executive session to start at seven, we need to wait to start it at seven. We can go late, but we can't go early because if any press was going to attend and we hold it early and end early, that's not transparent.
Okay, cool. So let's take a 20-minute break. Okay, we're calling the executive session back to order. We took a little break so that we were in line with the publicized time of 7 o'clock to start the executive session. So we'll start with the executive session one, which is regarding labor negotiations. Cassette?
Yeah.
Are you presenting?
I am. I'm going to introduce our attorney, but I wanted to first introduce the negotiating team. We have Jake McCallum, the Director of Transportation Operations. We have John Allen, who's the Accessible and Customer Services Manager. We have Scott Sorensen, who's the IT Manager, and Perry Adams, who's the HR Director. So we want to welcome you here today. In part, we just wanted to give you an update on the status of the IT labor negotiations. I know that there were some comments when we wrapped up the previous negotiations that you all wanted more frequent updates. So we're committed to doing that, and that's a part of what we're here tonight to do. So Jackie Dam, who is our labor attorney with Ogletree Deacons, is gonna be walking us through the background where we've come from and how we've gotten where we are today. She's going to let you know where we are today, and then she's going to talk to you a little bit about what the priorities are, what our goals are for this. So Jackie is online, and Jackie, I'm going to hand it over to you at this point.
Okay, thanks, Cassette. So nice to be here, and I'm going to try to walk through this relatively quickly. I have a little bit of background on, sort of the law that sets the rules for collective bargaining, and I just wanted to do a quick update on that. So if you could advance the slide. Advance it again. So then the framework, basically under the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act, the parties have to bargain for 150 days. And then after that time period expires, the parties can continue bargaining. But at that point, either party may request mediation. We have to mediate for at least 15 days. Typically, that's one session, unless the parties agree to continue for additional sessions. At that point, either party can declare impasse, and that triggers the filing of each party's final offers. And then that leads to mandatory interest arbitration. So that's the process that we're under. And currently, we are still in the bargaining phase. The union indicated that we have passed the 150 days. So either party could request mediation. And at our last session, the union indicated that they may proceed with mediation based on where we are in the process, which I will get to. So if you could advance the slide, please. For transit, all bargaining units have the binding interest arbitration model. There are others that are subject to binding arbitration. They're all emergency services, police, fire, parole and probation, and 911. But in transit, all bargaining units, regardless of their function, are under the binding arbitration model. So that would include the IT group. Next, please. So there there is statutory criteria in the arbitration law. I will say that it, in a lot of ways, it doesn't fit transit in Oregon very well, but mostly because of the comparator information that arbitrators are supposed to look at. But the arbitration statutory criteria is the interest and welfare of the public, reasonable financial ability to pay the cost of the proposed contract, that's the employer's ability to pay, the ability to attract and retain qualified personnel. So whether or not the employer is having difficulty with recruitment and retention would be a relevant factor. The overall compensation, both wages and benefits that are presently received. Please advance. And then this one is the one I was mentioning, the comparison to overall compensation of other employees performing similar services in comparable communities. The comparable communities is the way that's been defined is typically by population. You usually look at population, you know, you go up three and down three in population, and they're within the state of Oregon, there just are not other transit agencies in comparable communities except for Salem. We often look outside of Oregon, but this is the statutory criteria. They'll also look at the CPI, All Cities Index, to review inflation, any stipulations of the parties, and then this very broad catch-all, such other factors traditionally taken into consideration by arbitrators. So that's the sort of framework that we're under. Advance the slide, please. Then I just wanted to reiterate the issues that are typically brought to the board for consideration, and those are economic items, wages, benefits, and retirement. Next slide. So the specific update for the IT bargaining. So the parties, we began bargaining with the ATU for the IT unit on June 6th, 2022. We took a break during the bargaining for the main contract, the operators and maintenance employees. And we reconvened last week on May 10th and for the first time exchanged wage proposals on May 10th. Up to that point, we had mostly been dealing with operational issues, non-economic items. We have a number of tentative agreements with the ATU on those items, but we exchanged wage proposals for the first time on May 10th. Next slide. So there are basically three issues remaining. I mean, there are a number of other ones, but the main issues that are kind of holding us up at this point are subcontracting and contracting out. The district has proposed, you know, basically that it has the right to do that for IT, and we felt that it was particularly important for IT because of the continually evolving technology. The union has proposed overtime for salaried employees in the IT bargaining unit. All but one classification are classified as salaried. The union has agreed to maintain their salaried status, but it has proposed that they would be paid overtime over 40, which to a certain degree kind of defeats the purpose of being salaried and is the best of both worlds. You know, a salaried employee under the Fair Labor Standards Act has to be paid for the full week in any week that they perform any work. But the trade-off for that is that they don't get paid overtime under the Fair Labor Standards Act. So the union has proposed both that they remain salaried, but also that they would be paid for overtime. And then the wage and salary structure, and I'll get into that a little bit more. The ATU has proposed a higher retirement contribution than the employees currently have. And we've proposed that they maintain the retirement plan that they're currently on, along with all the other administrative employees. We don't believe that's a key issue, but that is still out there. Next slide. So the wage and salary current structure for the IT group is that LTD pays administrative employees on a range and attempts to be market competitive at the midpoint of that range. There are annual increases based on performance. There also was a recent increase to the range in a that was pursuant to an Equal Pay Act, basically a project looking at all the administrative ranges and making adjustments under an equal pay analysis. And then there were also recent market adjustments to two classifications within the bargaining unit. Next, please. So our proposal is that they continue under the current system. We did indicate a willingness to explore more structured performance metrics in the contract, but did want to maintain the performance element for these employees and also to maintain the range structure rather than a step structure. So that was our proposal. Next slide, please. The union's proposal was to move to a step system, which is what they have in their other two bargaining units at LTD. They are asking for automatic increases through the steps. So basically it wouldn't be based on performance at all. It would be based on service. They would automatically proceed through the steps. They also proposed longevity pay. And in addition, they proposed annual increases to the step scale itself. So in 2023, their proposal was to implement this new step scale, and the scale that they proposed to us, the salaries within that scale had significant increases over their current salaries. And then they proposed a 6% increase to the scale in 2024 and a 5% increase to the scale in 2025. We have shared with them that we don't believe that the market analysis supports those types of very high increases that they've proposed, but that is their current proposal. Next slide, please. So in terms of next steps, we ended the session on the 10th with the union saying that they want to go to mediation unless the district is willing to discuss a more structured wage system. You know, they're willing to perhaps not have the exact steps that they've proposed, but they want more structured wages rather than have it be a range and have employees advance through the range and have annual increases based on performance and market adjust and, you know, looking at the market. We have indicated that, you know, we'll explore a more structured wage system that may provide some predictability for the bargaining unit, but that we were not particularly interested in having automatic step advancement. Next slide. So before I move on to just sort of a legal refresher, I just wanted to remind everybody about, you know, the ability to the communicating outside of bargaining. But before I do that, that's basically where we're at in bargaining. And I'm just wondering if anybody has any questions.
Any questions? I have a question. What's our market analysis indicate the appropriate wage increase should be?
I think market analysis indicates that with the recent increases that they already received, that they're right at the market already.
I have a question. Did you say that that they asked for the 6% in 24 and 5% in 25, but then this year there was also an increase? Is what was that increase?
There wasn't a specific percentage increase. It would basically be that effective upon ratification, their new step proposal would be implemented, and the proposed salaries within that step scale were significant increases, but it wasn't just a straight across the board percentage increase.
What is significant?
Yeah, I don't know the exact percentage. I mean, we could do an average, but I don't have that right in front of me.
Do you have any concerns about going to binding arbitration?
I mean, certainly, you know, binding arbitration never has, there are no guarantees. I think in before we do head to binding arbitration, we need to shore up our proposal and make it a little bit more structured. That's one of the things that will be